And Isaac came from the way to the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. Now Isaac is up in the high country, in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And she said unto the servant, this nameless servant, notice how the servant is never given a name. He's never glorified. He's never worshipped. He's just called to bring that girl home to the son. And she said to the servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. What's she showing? Submission to Isaac. She veiled herself before the master, letting him know, I'm coming and giving myself to you alone. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Now, the reason why you know the special move she made, if she veiled herself, she had been traveling in that whole journey without the veil. So why did she see Isaac and put a veil on? Because this is my main squeeze. This is my man, and I'm dedicating myself to him alone, a virgin girl, never been touched by a man. That's the condition that God is returning your heart to. You've been an idolater, fornicating and smoking your dope and drinking your liquor and laying around with folks and watching the porno. Now he's saying, veil yourself. Return to the state of virginity if you're going to be married to my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. By whom? Rebekah. The same nurturing that his mother gave him is now taken up by Rebekah. That's what happens when you leave your home as a man. You leave the discipline of your father and the nurturing of your mother. But God replaces the nurturing of your mother with your wife. What happens to the woman? She leaves the discipline and the covering of her father. He replaces the covering with her husband. A nurturer and a disciplinarian yoked together to start another lineage. You see, Jesus lives through the church. Jesus disciplines and nurtures the human race through the church. He does both of them. Both of them. The dictates of the nurturer and the dictates of the disciplinarian are found in the church. Women and men have to begin to operate in unison in the church. Men for discipline, men for authority, women for nurturing. Stop trying to take over the church and be some disciplinarian, lady. Get in your assigned place. Put the veil on your head and get in your assigned place. What is so hard about this? But God still has himself a remnant that's going to do it. Don't worry. God is going to find some people to do the job. So Isaac and Rebekah, you know, the word Isaac means basically laughter. Remember when Sarah conceived Isaac, she laughed. And so she named him Isaac after the word laughter. And Rebekah actually means captive, or a rope with knots tied in it. A captive daughter of Zion. You ever read in the Bible, it talks about a captive daughter of Zion? So she's yoked, tied to Isaac, who is laughter, joy, happiness, merriment. There's peace in the valley when you're with Jesus. It's not all these yokes and burdens on you and all these bondages. You can finally enjoy life because you've been yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ. But outside of him, man, turmoil and trouble, pain and anguish. You become the Grinch, just living in hell. So you see now, as you move away from the world back to Jesus Christ and his lordship, as Rebekah goes to Isaac and the family of Abraham and his lineage, She finally finds rest for her soul and her mate, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're talking about a soulmate. Jesus Christ is your soulmate. You try to find it in the flesh, you're going to be disappointed. Yoke yourself to Jesus and let Jesus orchestrate whoever you're to be married to in the physical earthly realm. You look around down here first, you're going to be deceived by a bunch of folk that's just crazy. Yoke to Jesus. He is your soulmate, and let him guide you to everything else in life. Isaiah 52 verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. You've been captive. You've been brought into a yoke. You've been bound. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourself for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. So you've been bound by the world, captivated by the world. But now he wants to bind you to himself. Loose those bands off of yourself. Don't let the uncircumcised and the unclean come in. We're going to be cleaned up. We're going to be renovated to be joined to another husband man. Coming out of the servitude and the slavery to the world, and now coming to a free man, a loving man, a man that really will do you good and not use you up. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime unto Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for nothing? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. Excuse me, my name continually every day is blasphemed. You're sitting in church, bound to that religious mess, and you're just bound there paying your tithes. Under yokes and burdens, and God's name is blasphemed. See, the yoke on you makes you blaspheme God. You're angry at God because you see him as a tyrant, serving him supposedly in the flesh, measuring up to the dictates and standards of men. You got folks right now about to run around. They'll hear this message right here. They'll listen to the gospel of truth and obedience and freedom, and they'll still go back to the old church paradigm, trying to become a preacher in the organized structure of religion. They want you to come and hear my trial sermon and all this kind of stuff. Come up under that same old yoke and start fellowshipping with other preachers, thinking this is God's house. That's garbage. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to perfect the saints so the saints can do the work of the ministry. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The real gospel message is come in here, be regenerated in your spirit, be renovated in your soul, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now go out there and save everybody. You see what he said? Rebecca would have thousands and millions coming out of her loins. You should be actively participating in salvation, not a spectator. But that same old nasty, stinking church paradigm where preacher boys get together and talk preacher talk and fellowship with each other is being turned back to by a lot of young guys who hear this message and they only have the old church they went to as their example, and they're trying to make that God. You're going to be deceived and you're going to be frustrated. You're going to have to leave your gonads on the altar because they're going to castrate you for you to walk with them. I'm telling a guy, hey man, forget price. Come in here and grow your own set of balls and get in the battle. Oh no, man, no, that's not love. You sorcerer. You sorcerer, you. They turn tender on you. They turn girl-like. Why? Because I got to get my sword. And I got to go into the battlefield in Christ myself, be responsible and accountable. And for God's sake, for the first time in my life, I've got to be a man. And that's foreign to me. So I'm dictatorial. I'm mean. I'm angry. This is not the love of God. This is not how the Lord is. And they'll go right to a tenderoni gospel that's going to soothe the femininity in them. See, there's a feminine gospel out there that will soothe your feminine soul, man. You've been already castrated. Your mama already dug your guts out of you. You've been around those whores all your life and listening to hip hop that castrated you and sodomized you. See, hip hop and rap is used by the devil to sodomize a man and make him into a girl. And all they talk about is some old rapper that they once knew and how I used to listen to Tupac. And what you talking about all these men for like that? Why are you trying to be a member of the G Unit and the Cash Money crew and be part of Jay-Z's Rock Nation? Because you're a pack of sodomites. And now God is saying, stand up and be a man. Grow your own gonads. Put your sword in the sheath. Put on your armor and stand in battle array with other brethren that are standing against Satan, confronting him, driving him off, and setting captives free. If I'm a girl, if I'm effeminate, if I'm a sodomite, I can't stand with a band of brethren. And if you're married to a woman that's really seeking after God and wants to be free and walk with a man of God, you are going to be seen by that woman as the coward that you are. She knows you're a coward. No matter how you try to bathe it in love talk and the love of God, and price is not showing love, that woman that's seeking God in spirit and in truth knows that you're a coward and you're not fooling anybody but yourself. You might as well keep that garbage off of the Omega Ministries Facebook group, because we're not letting cowards, sodomites, and effeminate men into this. This is for men of God and women of God who have stepped up to the plate, getting filled with the Holy Ghost to stand against the devil and bring in God's bride, Rebecca, sanctifying her, cleansing her, preparing her for the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's the way it's going down. I'm not changing anything. We're going to preach the gospel of truth to set a captive free. Look at this. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. You go to Romans 10:15. He says that same thing again. Look over at Romans 10. Talking about salvation. It's time to stop fooling around with people who are just cotton picking, afraid and scary and cowards. Stop being a coward and step up and do the works of the ministry. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, a proclaimer? There is no office in the Bible called preacher. No, people tell you, I've been called to preach. Well, who hasn't? There is no office in the Bible called preacher. You can't find it. I dare you to find it. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Everybody is a preacher. What's a preacher? A proclaimer of the message of salvation. Look what the message is. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who have believed our report? So then, faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the rhema, not the logos. This is the anointed word of God, bathed in the Holy Ghost. Faith comes by the anointed rhema of God. But how can they hear with no proclaimer of it? So the vessel that proclaims the word must be baptized in the Holy Ghost, because the word billows from your spirit, comes through the Holy Ghost, and it's an anointed word. Without an anointed word, you got nothing but dead letter proclaimed to the people. Anybody trying to preach the gospel without the Holy Ghost is preaching dead letter, and it won't inspire what in you? Life. It won't bring the born again experience to life in you, because it's just head knowledge and dead letter. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost to bring rhema word, a living word. Faith comes by the rhema, and the rhema comes by that spoken word being proclaimed. You got to have the hearing of the rhema. You got to hear it, but it's got to be rhema. Jesus said, you have eyes to see, you see not, ears to hear, you hear not. I'm speaking rhema to you. I'm speaking spirit to you. My words are spirit, he said. Remember that? Yeah. My words are spirit, and they engender life. That's rhema. But why couldn't they hear it? They love the world. I'm speaking spirit, and you love the temporal world. That's what blocks it. I love the world, so therefore I will not hear you. You're trying to get me to heaven, and I love the earth. You're trying to get me to eternity, but I love the temporalities of earth. I love self, and you're trying to make me selfless. You want me to sacrifice up myself to you. I want to keep myself for me. So therefore, I can't hear anything you're saying. I still got hatred in my heart. I got unforgiveness in my heart. I've got bitterness in my heart. So I can't hear you. That's why people don't receive the Holy Ghost. Did you not know cholesterol has to block up the arteries to deny the Holy Ghost from coming upon you? You still got junk in you that won't let the Holy Ghost come upon you. That's why you got to repent and believe the gospel. You got to turn away from and then present your body as a living sacrifice. What were they doing in the upper room? They were presenting their bodies as a living sacrifice for the Holy Ghost to come on them. Jesus said, not many days hence. 10 days from now, he's coming like a rushing mighty wind. Get ready, get prepared, because he's coming like a freight train. Whenever God gets ready to do something in any dispensation, any time frame on earth, the preparation is the return of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with power. You'll find out where people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost all over the place. Happened in the early 80s. Folks were getting the Holy Ghost without even trying hard. That's the preparation. Rain comes before harvest. When he's going to end gather, the rain is going to come, and it's on its way right now. Like Elijah said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Luke chapter 4. We're moving fast. Let's keep moving. I'm trying to talk fast. I already talked fast. Now I'm trying to talk faster. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Look at Jesus showing up on the scene here. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Remember, he said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He anointed me and appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. I'm healing up brokenhearted people. That's very important. A broken heart, a wounded spirit, the Bible says, who can bear it? It's a lot of broken-hearted people. Take a woman that was deeply in love with a guy and he committed adultery on her. A broken-hearted woman. Never recovered. She walks around with a broken heart. People who lost kids, kids who died young. A three-year-old kid was burned to death in a fire. And the parents have been brokenhearted ever since. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. To preach, to proclaim deliverance to the captives. And recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it unto the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when the great famine was throughout all the land. So, you know, the heavens were shut up for 3.5 years. And unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon. Now, these are not the Israelites. These are not the Jews. He was sent to a foreign woman. Unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet. And none of them were cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian. Look how he jumped outside of Israel 2 times. Yeah. So God was trying to help the Israelites. He went to the foreigners. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they may cast him down headlong, bust Jesus' brains out. But he passed through the midst of them and went his way. Because his hour had not come yet. And I'm not scheduled to be thrown off of a mountain with my head split open. I'm scheduled to be crucified. But what made him so mad? Jesus was telling them, you're rejected. I'm telling you, this day are these scriptures fulfilling your hearing. And you're talking about Joseph's son. It's the same way it is now with religious people. They'll sit right here on live stream and listen to me and can't hear what I'm saying. And go right away from it, right to vomit, right to bondage, right to religion. And the thing is handed to them on a silver platter and they can't see it, nor can they receive it. And they'll get mad enough at me to kill me. Why? Because I don't have the inner makeup to receive Jesus. I still have something in the world that captivates me. I'm still bound to and by my flesh. The gospel is a gospel that appends itself to and confronts natures in you. It's not dealing with what you do or don't do. It confronts the nature that binds you. I am a rebel. I am a sodomite. I am a lover of the world. That's why I don't receive the gospel. It's the invisible, intangible, esoteric nature in you confronted by the gospel. That's what you got to repent and deny. Repentance is turning away from the world, which feeds the nature in you. That's why you repent. I'm turning away from the food source that's feeding this filthy nature in me that's making me antichrist. But guess what? Those that won't repent, they won't turn away from the food source. They'll find a religious food source to replace it. I'm a homosexual sodomite spirit So I find myself a soft, tenderoni gospel that talks about love and, you know, it's pristine, it's nice. And God is not into this war stuff. God just wants us to love each other. And that's the witness of Jesus. I'm going to show you in this gospel, in this Bible, if that's true. We're going to find out if that's the witness of Jesus. Or have you been lied to because you're afraid to stand against the devil? You're not going to stand for Jesus without standing against his adversaries. So you talk all that love, peaceful, tenderoni stuff to somebody else. You got on armor in Ephesians chapter 6 for something. And it ain't to go out and pick no lilies out of the field. Why you get that armor on? Well, I was going to pick some flowers and some roses and make myself a bouquet and put it on my shoulders and walk around as a lovely Christian. No, man. No. This is a warfare. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm telling you, a tenderoni guy telling you tenderoni tiptoe through the tulip stuff will make you feel better than engaging in the Vietnam War. You feel a lot better sitting out on the patio sipping lemonade than you would in Saigon with incoming ordnance coming at you. Can't you see how they'll pacify you? They'll make you feel like this has got to be right. Why? It makes me feel so much peaceful and so much better. That Price guy is talking all of that war stuff. But over here in our church, Joel Osteen just tells you to give affirmations. Speak to your mountain. Just tell yourself, this is the day the Lord has made. Tell yourself, this is a beautiful day. This is a sunny day. This is a lovely day. When you go to work, on my job, I'll have success. In my family, there'll be nothing but joy in my home. Oh, you know that's not reality. Affirmations, confessions, proclamations. Let your mouth proclaim your destiny. Joel Osteen is a lying wonder, telling you lie after lie after lie after proverbial lie, sitting across from Oprah with T.D. Jakes, telling you lie after lie after lie about being successful in this world. And it's nothing but the devil disempowering you not to stand against him. You can't have a man coming in town to set captives free, to heal up broken hearts, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is war talk. I'm confronting something. For this purpose, the Bible says, the Son of God was manifested in the flesh to destroy. He's a destroyer. The works of the devil. Get that embedded in your soul so deeply that nobody can pluck it out of you. When a guy begins to talk little pacifying, tenderoni things to you, say, hey man, get that sissy spirit out of you and get into the conflict. He says, if you draw back, God talking, my soul will have no pleasure in you. And he'll mark you as what? A bastard. An illegitimate child claiming to be saved. Walking around with a bastard spirit offended in Christ. The Bible says, blessed is he who is not offended in Jesus Christ. He's a stumbling block. He's a rock of offense. That's the way it goes. That's the hand we've been dealt. Embrace it and walk in it. Look what he says here. Jesus is dealing with these dirty, low-down members of this Sanhedrin who don't like him. He says, that they said to him, look, we're going to throw this man down headlong. We're going to bust his head wide open for saying this stuff to us. Now, these are the religious leaders now. Think about the vengeance and the hatred coming our way here shortly. From church folks. Church folks who what? Don't have the Holy Ghost. And if they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, they're not yielded to him. They won't like you. Notice how when Rebecca left home, there was a progression back to Isaac. Isaac didn't live next door. As you get further away from home, the familiar, the family members, look how the family members tried to hold on to her for 10 days. What'd she say? I will go now. I'm going. I'm out of here. Que sera, sera, sayonara. See you around. Rivaderci. I'm gone. The further you move away from your familiar environment, family members, what you're used to, the more that environment will see you as an outsider, foreign, somebody that's against them. You're not against anybody. You're just for Jesus. I'm not anti you. I'm pro Jesus. Well, I'm not that into Jesus. Hey, that's not my problem. You need to go deeper into the Lord. However far you've gone, you need to go deeper. Because Jesus is a bottomless well. The water runs deep in Jesus. I don't care how far you think you are, how deep you think you are, you can go deeper in the Lord. And that's your goal, till you're overflown with water. Water is flowing all over you, and your nostrils are covered, and you've drowned in the sea of the Lord. No longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. We got a message on the internet called A Drowning Man. Listen to that message sometime. A Drowning Man. How a drowning man always grasps and gasps and tries to get air, trying to stay alive. And I'm telling you, man, let go and just drown, man. Let that old life dry up and go away so you can live in Christ. So Jesus is here confronting these dregs. He read from Isaiah, and he was reading from Isaiah 61:1, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointing me to preach. But the end of that whole discourse in Isaiah 61, Jesus didn't quote that part of it. Let me read the end of that statement. Jesus stopped short when he read from Isaiah. So if you read Isaiah 61, you find when Jesus was reading, he got to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord in verse 2, and he stopped. But if he had finished, he would have said this, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. So you see now, the day of vengeance will pick up in the tribulation period. There is a day of God's impending vengeance coming to this planet. So right now we're dealing with preaching good tidings unto meek people. The word in Isaiah 61 is meek. In Luke is the poor. Bind up brokenhearted people. Proclaim liberty to the captive. Open the prisons to them that are bound. To proclaim and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The year that you can be accepted. But after this period right here, the day of vengeance is coming, where God will come to avenge all those people that have been mourning because they've been persecuted for and representing him. God is going to avenge those people. And it's going to be a dark day, the Bible says. A gloomy day when God visits earth with vengeance on his mind. You better get in while the getting is good. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 verse 15. Look what he says. Luke 3:15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latchet of his shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Holy Ghost and with fire. And you don't even know you've received him. Now he's dropping the Holy Ghost and fire into your spirit, and you don't know you got the Holy Ghost. You see how silly that is? Nobody's going to be pouring fire into your guts, and you don't know you've got it. I saw a young girl about 7, 8 years old get baptized in the Holy Ghost. in a basement of a Baptist church talking in tongues out of control. A granddaddy was the pastor. He come down there thinking somebody had done something to her. Girl in his arms shaking, talking in tongues. The granddaddy scared to death, not knowing what's going on. God operates as he sees fit. We had a little Bible study going on. The little girl come down and she loved the Bible, loved to be in Bible study. And one night the Holy Ghost fell on her. Couldn't stop talking in tongues. Granddaddy trying to snap her out of it. Girl, come on, stop. Come on now, stop. What you doing? Out of it. Gone. 7, 8 years old. I'm sitting there looking at it. Because I had taught the Bible study that night. So I was the suspect. See, I love stuff like that. Yes, guilty. I'm the guy. You want to be in on ground zero. Be the one that did it. You get the reward. You were in the deal. If they're looking for anybody, let them be looking for you. Not me, you. Look what he says. He says he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff, the leftover folk, he will burn with fire unquenchable. The wheat and the tares, the chaff, grow up together. Then he separates. I believe he's in the process of separating right now. Everybody's not going all the way with this. He's separating off folks that don't have the wherewithal to stand in a conflict. You got to have some tough folk to stand in this, buddy. They got to be God made, God ordained, God called, and God chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. So you see what happened. Herod was mad at John and had put him in prison because he had confronted him about being married to his brother's wife. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Jesus was baptized himself in water by John and was there praying. The heavens opened up and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Now Jesus is baptized in the Holy Ghost and now you don't need to be. It's crazy. The Holy Ghost came in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. So, oneness Pentecostals again say Jesus and the Father are the same person. So I guess Jesus as a ventriloquist threw his voice into heaven, speaking over himself. You know, you got to do a lot of weird way out twisting of the Bible to make certain doctrines make sense. You'd have to take the Bible and just twist it up and maim it to make oneness Pentecostalism make sense. If you're a oneness Pentecostal listening to me, repent. Just repent. Data dump that doctrine. Get filled with the Holy Ghost and do the job. Data dump the doctrine. All the talking in tongues you're doing and all the running around with the Pentecostal stuff you're doing means nothing if you've got a skewed example and image of God in your mind. These three bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It ain't that hard. Accept it. Accept it. Repent. Power up and go. Man, it's not that hard. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus being full of what? Who? Jesus is full of the Holy Ghost. Now think about what I'm saying. You figure, well, Jesus ought to be able to operate solo. He don't need the Holy Ghost because he's God himself. Jesus lived and came to earth as a man. He could do nothing outside of the power of the Holy Ghost filling him, just like you and me. He is an example of how a man is to live on earth under the auspices of God And the only way you can represent God is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. First place you'll go when you get real saved, really saved, and filled with the Holy Ghost is into the wilderness. Why? Because you got to be tested. Being 40 days tempted or tested of the devil. And in those days, he didn't eat nothing. See, this is why we fail in testing. While we're being tested, we're eating everything. We're gorging ourselves with ribs and steaks and fried chicken. While Jesus is being tested, he's fasting and eating nothing. Why? He wants Holy Ghost power preeminent in him. Your God is your belly, so you don't have power. You got to sacrifice up something to get this power I'm talking about. Anybody telling you anything different from that is lying to you because they're afraid of a manifestation of power. I'll show you why that is in just a minute. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, that word of God, every word of God, man lives. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power, this authority, again, that's not dunamis, that's exousia. All this power, I'll let you rule all of this. I'll give you control over all of this. Now he showed to him the world in a moment in time. A moment in time. Who knows what vignette of time he splashed in front of his eyes now. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. That word delivered is betrayed. Where did the devil get it from? Adam. And the devil says, I give this stuff to whomever I want to. You better know that Jesus never said, you're a liar, you can't do that. He didn't ever say that. You know why? Because he's the God of this world, the devil is. And he doles out positions of authority to people. Folks are not just billionaires for nothing. He's choosing people. He's handpicking people he can use. He's giving Jay-Z and Beyonce a lot of money for a reason. He's giving Oprah money for a reason. He's able to pimp them and use them as conduits to perform his will. Wake up. You raise up and rise up in church based on your submission to the devil. A lot of young guys want to be preachers, but you got to come up under those sodomites in the pulpit for them to give you the power and the authority to get into their pulpit to preach. You don't need a pulpit to preach. Man, get on the street and do the job. You don't have to answer to some clown behind a desk somewhere. Dunamis Tabernacle is designed to have elders teaching the people, getting them raised up, not to become members of the staff of the church. Take the thing to Main Street, man. Get out there and do the job and bring in a harvest. You're trying to move through a political system called the church, and you're back in the old church paradigm. You're back in the old bondage of the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and Sadducees, needing their approval and a preacher license and an ordaining certificate to put you out there. You're still bound and don't even know it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. You've got to prove yourself through worshiping the devil before he'll trust you. Beyonce's got to go through the ritual of worshiping Baphomet before he'll use her. Madonna's got to bow the knee through the Kabbalah and ancient Jewish ritualism for him to accept her. Rihanna's got to bow the knee. Nicki Minaj must bow the knee. Everybody he lifts up must bow the knee to Baphomet and all kinds of foreign gods and Baal and Ashtaroth. You must pay homage to the beast and bow before the beast will lift you up. You better know that. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee and to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest in any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. This is the devil. The devil quoting Psalm 91 verse 11. The devil will turn religious on you. You want to know somebody that knows the Bible better than you and me? The devil. He'll go religious on you, void of the Holy Ghost. One person the devil can't have is the Holy Ghost. He can quote the letter, but he does not have the Spirit. You better beware. Beware of these posts on Facebook. They sound very intellectual. They sound convincing. They sound emotional. They try to stimulate you to start becoming introspective about yourself and doubting yourself. It'll sound religious. It'll sound like it's probing you and making sense to you. But it's not the Spirit of God. You better wake up. You better know the Holy Ghost when he's talking to you. Because there are many deceivers going out into the world. And I'm going to show you now how God's going to separate the wheat from the chaff and show you who the deceiver is in just a minute. The devil quoting Psalm 91. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him forever. It doesn't say that. He departed from him for a season, for a little while. What did he do? He's circling Jesus to find out if I can find what? Any inroad, any cracks in the armor. That's how he's doing you. He circles you like a lion doing what? Stalking his prey. He goes about like a roaring like lion seeking whom he may devour. He's always circling you, whether you know it or not, trying to find a flaw, a glitch in the armor, some way to get in, some way to deceive you, some way to emotionally stimulate you to get you in the flesh. Because when you're in the flesh, you're in his territory. That's why you got to fly high above this world and the systems of this world. You got to be high above the matrix. Temptation begins. Now remember now, look at it. In Luke chapter 3, Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost in verse 22. Immediately, the Holy Ghost took him into the wilderness. Temptation begins with the Holy Ghost baptism. That's when testing begins. Most folk don't even understand what I'm talking about in church because they hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. They're not going through the real process of change and transformation. Tempting and testing is designed to transform you. That's what it does to you. It changes you. You don't know what it's doing, but that's what it's doing. It's metamorphosizing you. The devil's confrontations change you. They metamorphosize you. When you overcome him and that temptation, it changes you. God is changing you here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, he does it. He changes you situationally over time. He's making you and reforming you into the image of Christ. You're becoming that lump of clay that he breathed into eons ago when Adam laid on the ground as a lump of clay. He's going to re-inspire you and stand you up. Remember he said in Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? When he stood the dry bones up as a re-inspired body, he called them what? My army. That's what the Army of God conference is all about. Re-inspiration of the body of Christ to stand this body up as an army in battle array to confront the enemy, overcome him, and set his captives free. That's why the Holy Ghost comes. The Holy Ghost comes on warriors. to make you into an army. Read that passage if you get a time. Ezekiel 38, I believe it is. Is that right, Ezekiel 38? I'll double check. Ezekiel 37. Read it for yourself. Ezekiel 37. Read that passage in your private time, tonight, tomorrow, whenever. Ezekiel 37, and watch how those dry bones come back alive again. A dead church, dried up church, scattered church, discombobulated church. No allegiances, no alliances. There's confusion. Man, when those bones come together and the Holy Ghost breathes back on them, he said, prophesy to the wind and breathe back into those dry bones again. And he said, flesh and all the things came back on that body and stood up. Man, you had trouble in the land. Because the army of God is alive again, ready to fight a spiritual war. So temptation begins with the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a transcending spirit. A transcending spirit. What do I mean by that? Look at Colossians chapter 3. The Holy Ghost transcends time and space. He transcends what I call the matrix. I'll define the matrix again for those of you who have never heard it. The matrix is a satanically generated virtual reality that confines man by defining man. He engages your senses in the matrix to make you believe that the matrix and the control mechanisms of the matrix is all that there is, and you have to interact within the confines of the devil's matrix to exist. God is eternal. The matrix is temporal. The matrix is not appended to eternity. It's the devil's false projection of a kingdom he rules over. So you got to be delivered from and separated from the devil's matrix in order to know God. That's the definition of the matrix. But the Holy Ghost is a transcending spirit that lifts you up out of the matrix. What's a transcending spirit? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll take a look at the power of this transcending spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. That word affection is phronio in the Greek. Phronio, P-H-R-O-N-E-O. Phronio, and the word phronio means your mind. You have to take your mind, which is an abstract spiritual part of you now. It's not your brain, it's your mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the matrix on the earth. You see how you got to do it? Now, this is an act of your will. You've got to willfully take your mind and let your mind reset above this place. How do you do that? Huh? Meditating His word day and night. It's resetting your mind. It's recalibrating you to a spiritual thing, the eternal thing. It's feeding you spiritual things from God's mind. So it's resetting your mind. It's recalibrating your mind. Another tool to use, somebody said it, praise and worship of God. Recalibrating your mind above, not on the earth. God is not worshiped on earth. He's in heaven. So if you lift your hands and worship God in the heavenlies, your mind is going toward heaven, away from here. Set your affections, your mind, your phronio in the Greek, on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are where? Dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead. That offends the religious person. Why? Because they have religious things they want to do. They have aspirations on earth in religion. That's why they want to tell you, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet. They have all these aspirations. You're not an apostle, you're dead. You're not a prophetess, you're dead. You don't have a life, but the life that's hid with Christ in God. You're still trying to be instead of dying to let Christ be. I'm trying instead of dying. When I die, Christ lives. When I live, Christ dies. Turn loose your life, you find life. Hold on to your life, you lose life. That's the conflict in the human. You really got to let go and let God. You've got to die. He told you where you live. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. And your only, the only life you have is here with Christ in God. That word life, your eternal life, your Zoe life. Stop imagining yourself to be something you're not. Die. Be crucified. I told you the Holy Ghost is the transcending spirit. Look at Philippians chapter 3. One book back, Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They won't let you die. They keep you soulish. They keep you alive. They keep you trying to have your best life now. They keep you paying tithes thinking that a seed faith offering is going to save you. All that stuff is designed to make you not die. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're trying to get you to live in the here and now and prosper with material things. It's keeping you alive. Whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame. Who mind what? Earthly things. I'm not making this up. Now you're reading it out of your Bible. For our conversation, the word for conversation is what?
Lifestyle.
Our lifestyle, our life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We got a vile body that's going to be changed into a glorious body. We have a terrestrial body that will be changed into a celestial body. We're going to take on a resurrection body. You're living to live again. The leading edge of your transformation into what you're going to be is your mind. When your mind leaves here finally and is set above, that's the conduit through which the Holy Ghost baptism comes. He's not going to come on you if your mind is down here. Look how introspective a lot of folks are thinking about what's wrong with me. And I still got this problem. And I'm still bound by this. And I'm still bound by that. And this thing is just so heavy on me. And my mind is tormented all the time. And you all into yourself. That's why you can't receive anything from God. You're a double-minded man, unstable in all of your ways. Don't let that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord, including the Holy Ghost. Jacob's ladder got to go up. And the angels of the Lord ascend and descend on that ladder. Set your affections above and get out of yourself. Your nasty self is what did you in the first place. The Holy Ghost is a transcending spirit. He transcends time and space. You've got to have the Holy Ghost to experience the power gospel of God. What does transcend mean? It means to be or go beyond the range or limits of something. It's something abstract, typically a conceptual field or division. It's abstract. It transcends this. So you get up in that rarefied air of God, it's so abstract that you can't define it. So if you can't define something, guess what you can't do? You can't confine it. You can't bind it. That's why they tried to talk to Jesus. He talked to them in abstract spiritual terminology. And they were left there just like, wow, how do you answer him? A guy was talking to my wife the other day about religion and all the disparities in religion and the different churches. He said, well, one thing you know, it's just one Holy Ghost. He said, you know something? You're right. I ain't got nothing else to say to you. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father of spirits, one Holy Ghost. There ain't no problem in the church. It's a lot of problems in religion. there ain't no problems in the body of Christ because there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. All the real church folks are on the same page. It's the hypocrites and the sodomites and the perverts that are having a problem. They're the accusers of the brethren. Because they're on the outside doing what? Looking in. And trying to hang around church folk. But I don't have the inner witness for me because I don't have the Holy Ghost anchoring me to God. So all I can do is cause y'all problems because I don't have it for myself. When you get the Holy Ghost for yourself, you don't even think about what other folk doing. It's like a guy standing on the top of the hill giving out $1 million to everybody that comes by. Now everybody that got $1 million, they're not talking to you. You know the only person making a fuss? Hey, where mine at? I don't know, man. I don't know where yours is. All I know is what?
I got mine.
So you're a transcending person. Another synonym for transcend means to go beyond, rise above, surpass, exceed, to beat somebody, tower above, outdo, outclass, outstrip, leave behind, outshine, eclipse. Overshadow, throw into the shade. You remember people talk about throwing shade on people now? It's like I'm overshadowing you, making you look bad because I'm casting shade on you. Upstage, to top, to be better than. He's a transcending spirit. The devil's mealy-mouthed groveling kingdom looks like trash when the Holy Ghost comes on the scene. They look like clowns because the Holy Ghost shows up to do what? Show out.